that kind of worked. You got the gist of that whole thing. I never know with phones, and now let me turn this off so it doesn't make any noise during the service. Now you're just going to freeze on me? Stop it. There we go. As I looked at the story of Ascension actually comes in about 3-4 days. Wednesday, Thursday is really the day of Ascension. And it's kind of like in the middle of the week, and I can do it a bunch of different ways. But it just struck me as I was studying the story of the Ascension, and you had the two texts read to you, both by Luke. One is at the end of Luke's Gospel, and the second one when Luke wrote his second book, which is the Acts of the Apostles. And he ends his first book, and he starts his second book with the same topic, the Ascension of Jesus Christ. And the thing that struck me about it was the Ascension is the completion of the entire message of the gospel. In other words, I go to prepare a place for you. You see or hear of Christ leaving, and that moment takes place, and it culminates everything of Christ's entire ministry on planet Earth, and it ends with the message, the same way you saw this Christ go into heaven, he will come again and take you to be with him. And so in that moment of this ascension, when the disciples are all gathered around him, there's an immense amount of things going on, and so we become familiar with them, and we can talk about each and every one. The work of the gospel, the finished completion of Jesus' ministry, all the different things that are taking place. But I want you to focus on one particular one. Now, in about 2 weeks, I think it's not next Sunday, I think it's the Sunday after. I might have to double check. It's Pentecost. And we're going to ask you to wear red, okay? Pentecost is the birthday of Christ. The birthday of the church. And red is the celebration color. And I want us to be understanding the significance, because from this point till Pentecost, the disciples heard the promises and understand them only as far as they can see. They can't and they don't get it. If I did this little trick for somebody else who doesn't live in our generation, they would not understand how it works. They would be used to connecting with wires, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It would be absolutely beyond their comprehension. Doesn't mean it doesn't work, and it doesn't mean you can explain it, because would anyone like to try and give me a good explanation of Bluetooth and why it works, and why it works on some phones and not others, and when it doesn't work, why it stopped working, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But we know how to use it. And in a way, that's a little bit what we begin to discover with the working of the Holy Spirit. There is something unbelievably significant going on this Ascension Day that I want to focus on. I'm going to kind of break it down in different places, but I want to focus on it. And it comes out of this section in Acts, and it starts talking about this, and it goes like this. In verse 4, when he goes like this, it says, after his suffering, in Acts of suffering, he appeared to them, and then it says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak of. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. I want to suggest to you that you can be saved and not experience all that God has for you. It's a little bit like living beneath the potential. I got one of those new button cars. I've got a few buttons. I don't know what they all do. And I haven't, like a guy, I don't read the book. Just push the button, and I pulled something the other day, and the whole car didn't like that. So I have to break down and read the book. But there are buttons in our life, things in our life, that God has given to us, offered to us, but they sit there. They're simply not used. You may actually have Bluetooth on your phone. Inevitably, I always ask people, do you have Bluetooth on your phone? And some guys will look at me going, I don't know. I said, well, you have a smartphone? Yeah, I got. Do you have that? So you have to understand, there's this level of failure to use what God's given to you. Now, it doesn't mean you're not saved. It doesn't mean that you're not capable. It means that you haven't yet discovered the potential you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the neat thing about it is when you finally understand it accurately, you begin to recognize this does not have that in it to make it play music, in the sense that it doesn't have the music in it. It is a vehicle, a vessel that is responding, reacting through the mechanism and the electronics to do what that message was, which is to sing the kids, "Jesus loves me." In other words, you and I are like the speaker. There are things, we are qualified, we are a speaker, we're part of the kingdom of God, but there are things that God wants to be doing through you that may not ever get there because that connection, that Bluetoothing of you and the Holy Spirit hasn't taken place. And that becomes the challenge of Pentecost. You have to recognize there is this ability to find an on-off button. And then there's this ability to turn off or turn on its willingness to search for the Bluetooth. Now, in the connection with your life and my life, we have to understand the Holy Spirit is always searching, always trying to deliver, always trying to give you more than you have. More grace, more strength, more forgiveness, more mercy, more wisdom. There are things God will whisper to you and you get to be old and you go, "Oh, I wish I would have listened to you then." And he said, "Yeah, and I hollered at you through your mom and dad too, didn't I?" "Yeah, you did. And I told you through your friends, didn't I?" "Yeah. And you read it in the Bible too, didn't you?" "And you didn't listen, did you?" "No, I was really stupid." And if you're smart enough to say that out loud, you begin to understand the signal problem is not a problem from God's side. It's not a lack of stuff to send you. It's not a lack of material to give you. I was blessed this week to baptize two kids at Milwaukee Lutheran. And they were two of my juniors who are now seniors, and they asked to be baptized. So I got to go to Milwaukee Lutheran and perform the baptism and kind of wrote up a little service for them. And I told them, "It's Pastor Harmony gets to preach at you a little bit," and gave them my little sermons on baptism. And I used the one of the crossing of the Red Sea where the people had to walk across to get to the other side, but the miracle was God's miracle. And then on the other side, they had to do what God asked them to do to finish off what God had already given them. The promised land was there. Everything was theirs. All they had to do is walk it out, but they didn't. And I told the kids, that's the same thing in your life. Baptism, work of God, is complete, absolute, and unconditional from God's perspective. But you, on the other side of the Red Sea, on the other side of baptism, have to live it out. So I gave that, and I did the baptism. And we're just kind of hugging and saying hello. And one of the kids' mom was there. It happened to be two twins, actually. And boy twins. And the girl goes, "Oh, Mom, I feel so different, so clean." What a privilege, just to hear that. Because God goes, "It wasn't you, was it, Bruce?" "No, sir. It was me. Yes, sir. But you were my vessel." Do you understand? There are things that God wants to use you as a vessel for that start and end with the work of the Holy Spirit. There is, in reality, a connection that needs to be made. This is not just simply, "Oh, let's just see what God's going to do to me today. Maybe I'll get something, maybe I won't." There is that same thing I told those kids. You get to the other side, you make a decision. Am I going to respond to the leading and the prompting of the Holy Spirit, or will I have to look back on another year, minute, week, month, whatever it's going to be of my life, and say, "Oh, God, I wish I would have listened. I wish I would have behaved. I wish I would have done it your way. You shouted at me through your word. You shouted at me through the pastors. You shouted at me through my friends, acquaintances. You got, and I did not want to listen." All right? And so now I'm 62 years old with lung cancer because no matter how many people told me not to smoke, I did. Or whatever the other case, and I can certainly pick a spiritual topic, right? I told you that was the wrong situation. I told you not to get close to that person. I told you to walk away, but you would not listen. And that's the challenge for us. So when we come to this part, although Jesus is doing all the work, everything about the ascension is the miracle of Jesus, and I want you to be very much aware where it comes up as it goes on. It says, "But you will receive power..." All right, I'm in verse 8 now. "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." I can't do that but I can do this. The difference between this and me is nothing at all. The question is, and I'm going to propose to you over the next couple of weeks at least, is have you found the button? Have you made that decision that you're going to let and allow and have the Holy Spirit work in your life? There is this resistance that you and I can have. We can do this quite consciously and in some cases quite unconsciously, and we stop responding to the work of the Holy Spirit. We stop listening. We pretend we're listening. We're still sitting in church, but the Holy Spirit's saying, talk to your wife with a different tone in your voice. And you don't think you need to because she's got the problem. Yeah, right? And you turn off. Just the way I planned it. You understand? Live a life differently. Pursue people. Look at people. Have you ever asked the question, just like when you know Samuel is trying to pick out David from all of the sons that David, or brothers that David had, he kept looking on the outside. Oh, that one, that one, that one, that one, that one, that one. I had one guy just sharing it was on YouTube. He was saying he took a group of his people out evangelizing and witnessing, and they always picked the young, good-looking ones. And finally, he looked at them and said, why are you doing this? Said, well, they look like the most promising. And the real reason was they were scared to death of the old people. And finally he said, no, today we're going to go out witnessing and you can't talk to anybody over or under 50 or 60 years old. And their whole life was altered by that. You have to understand, we can even be in tune with the Holy Spirit, but we miss what he's asking us to do because of the prejudices, the things we've got in our own heart, in our own mind. I can't talk to people in red shirts. I can't talk to young girls. I can't talk to old. You understand why? Why? I was looking, there was nobody old. I didn't see anybody old, so I stopped. But you understand, I go, there's this work the Holy Spirit wants you to be so aware of. And he goes, listen, these are the last words of Jesus. Everything else you read is what they get to see. And he comes up with these points and he says, don't leave Jerusalem. I'm back there again in verse 5 or so. Don't leave Jerusalem. Wait for the gift the Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized, washed in, filled up with, poured over. The word baptismo has this idea of washed over, covered over, this idea, baptized with the Holy Spirit. So they met together and they asked him, and here's how far off they were. They asked him, Lord, are you going to establish or restore the kingdom of Israel? And then he says these words, it's not for you to know the times or the dates that the Father has set. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you and you will be my witnesses. And he goes on from there. And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes and a cloud hid him from their sight. When I was little, I always figured he kept going up, right? You know, like a balloon. You ever let go of the balloons? I can still see it. I can't see it, you know. I go, it says he raised up off the earth. And the cloud took him. God appears in the clouds all the time, top of the mountain, different times with Moses. What are we going to do? Go straight toward Mars, turn right for 47 light years, you'll find heaven? No. The cloud covers him over, and he says, the same way you saw this Jesus leave, he's coming back for you. But the message is what? Go, receive the power. I want you to be able to sing when you don't think you can sing. I want you to be able to preach when you think you're too little to preach. I want you to be able to understand you have words to share. I told you I had my class reunion last weekend now, and I gave my roommate, who I'd been roommates with most of my high school and college years, I gave him my message. I said, we have a three-second rule in our church. He says, what in the world is a three-second rule? So it used to be five. I think we got it down to three. It's from now on, it's 3 seconds, so everyone. Because if I get to five, I'm too quick on the excuses. 3-second rule. And I said, that is, if someone says, pray with me, you stop instantly put your hand on your shoulder, find the quietest place you can, and go pray over him. He goes, wow, that's pretty unusual. Middle of the week. Text. Guess what? I've used your 3-second rule 3 times already. Do you understand? A stupid little whatever chitty-chatty thing that I'm doing with my roommate. And I go, yeah, we do that because I have to. If I go 5 seconds, I'm able to think of an excuse. Well, I'm not going to say that nice thing or pick up that thing or do that nice, whatever it happens to be. And I go, he got it. And suddenly the Lord is taking a block of wood and turning it into a vessel that he can use in his kingdom. And the only thing that's required is the block of wood, or the dead speaker in one sense, knows they're nothing more than a block of wood. But in the power of the Holy Spirit, I can be all things to all men as God empowers me to do that. And so your question is not, what are you bringing? What do you got? The question is not, what have you learned? The question is, have you set your eyes on the Holy Spirit? One of the challenges that we deal with in Pentecost and deal with the gift of the Holy Spirit is you have to understand you are asking the Holy Spirit to fill your life. You're saying, Lord, take it all. Use it in accordance with your will. Make me as vulnerable and transparent and open as a speaker is to Bluetooth. I could play something really heavy, play something really light. I could play classical. I could play rock. And that vessel would all come out of the same vessel. You mean you could actually talk to an old person? Yes. You could talk to a little child? Yes. You could talk to a man and a woman or a... Yes, you understand, in the kingdom of God, there is nothing that can stop you when the Holy Spirit is working in you and with you. And so the challenge I want to at least introduce you to today, I'm going to finish the concepts next Sunday, but the challenge I want you to be introduced to is, Holy Spirit, help me to be open. Help me to understand when my mind takes over and starts shutting me down. You heard the grunts and the groans this thing makes without anything doing and dealing with it. That's the best you're going to produce. That's all you've got. The moment you think you don't need the Holy Spirit, you're quenching, you're squelching the Bluetooth. You're cutting off the work of the Spirit in your life. And pretty soon you start to look at people, oh, this one's young, this one's cute, that one's handsome. And you walk through life with a whole different set of natural instincts, all of them going to lead you astray, and you miss the leadership and the mercy and the grace of God in the middle of your life. And so my challenge for you for the next few weeks is to pray regularly, asking God, Lord, show me if there's any reason why I can't receive all that you want to give me in your Holy Spirit. I want to be as useful as a Bluetooth speaker that's fully attached to the cell phone or the iPad or whatever you use at home. I want to be that available to you, Lord. I want to understand that I can talk to people in every culture, every group, every category. I can love on people that I don't even know. I can do things totally outside my comfort level, because once the Spirit of God enters in, then I am simply a vessel that God can pour himself into and through in other people's life. I didn't know whether or not there would be anything special when I got done with the baptism. God did this, Bruce. This is for you. I know that was. And she goes, Mom, I feel so clean. I feel so different, so new. And the mom is just beaming, looking at her kids, 2 seniors in high school, getting baptized. And God says, who are you? I'm a block of wood. But in you, Lord, I can do anything. And you see, that's the joy. That's the challenge. That's the opportunity. That's what I want us to experience. I want us to know God wants to speak through you. God wants to empower you. God wants to teach you how to do things that you've never done before, in ways that you've never conceived before. That he wants to give it to you unlimited. The same way my cell phone, connected to the internet at least, can pretty much come up with any number of things. Could that block of wood speaker actually know some answers to people's lives? Yes. How many of you have ever found yourself saying something and you got all done going, I don't know where that came from, but wow, that was good. Raise a hand here. Anyone done? Yeah. Yeah. God says, would you allow me to multiply it times 100? Yeah, I would. You understand? Today, I want you to begin the praying for the receiving of all that God has for you from the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, we celebrate your ascension. It is the testimony of your work being completed and our salvation being complete. And I know, Lord, that because of your grace and your Holy Spirit, there's a part of you in my life that allows me, that empowers me, that desires to be fully filled with the presence of your Holy Spirit so that I can speak and hear and respond to needs and wants and desires of people around me, so that I make decisions that are built on wisdom and the guidance of your Spirit rather than on the wisdom and foolishness of the world. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would come and fill this place with hearts that are preparing, hearts that are willing to receive, hearts that are open to all that you have for us. And I pray that that come so thoroughly and completely, Lord, that we will know that we are speaking what your will would be for the lives of people around us, or even for our own life. Lord, in your name, rebuke anything that would stop that. Keep down anything, Lord, that would prevent us from receiving, and teach us, Lord, what that really means. How to be that speaker for you, Lord. How to be that vessel of transferring the truth. And we pray this all in your name, Jesus. Amen. As the offering is received today, we pray God's grace and blessing over your life. We pray that in your finances, God would watch over you and help you and guide you. Lots of great information in Scripture. If you're a guest or visitor, please do not feel like you have to put anything in. We just appreciate you being here. And if you need some, take it out. It doesn't belong to us anyway. And if you need more, please ask. We'll see what we can do. Well, I guess...
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer safe to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer safe to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and dance. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
Our Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, knowing exactly who he had sitting with him, knew exactly what he was saying and what he offered them. The table never changes. It's the holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the mercy and grace of either the shed blood about to be shed or having been shed. It's the gift of his life for yours and mine. And those around thinking it wouldn't possibly be them who denied or ran away or any of the other things. And in the middle of it, the grace of Jesus Christ reaches into your life and whispers to you, you're no longer a slave to sin. Our Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. The same way after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread, drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. This is not my invitation to you. This is the invitation of God himself through Jesus Christ and the calling of the Holy Spirit. You are invited here because you're aware you need forgiveness and that the only place for that forgiveness is in Jesus Christ alone. This is his table. He is the sacrifice. He is the gift. He is the empowerer. And in him, you are more than conquerors. And so I extend his invitation to you. Come and receive his body and blood. Come and receive his forgiveness and mercy. Come and be encouraged and made new in him in every way. We pray this in your name. Amen.
There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide.
Through the body of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
And given to death
for all your sins.
I've ever found.
Take and eat. It's the body of Christ.
Comes like a flood, comes flowing down.
Take and drink.
At the cross, at the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of you. I'm in all of
you. You are the beloved.
Where your love ran red,
and
my sins washed white. I owe all to you.
And you have been made new by the
Holy Spirit. I owe all to you.
Depart and live in that grace and peace.
Jesus. There's a place where sin and shame are powerless. Where my heart has peace with God and forgiveness. And all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, yes, at the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of you. I'm in all of you. Where your love ran red, and my sins washed white, I owe all to you. I owe all to you. Here, my hope is found. Here, on holy ground. Here I bow down. Here I bow down. Here. Arms open wide here, You saved my life. Here I bow down. Here I bow. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you. I'm in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sins washed white, I owe all to you. I owe all to you. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you. I'm in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sins washed white, I owe all to you. 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 What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my open peace. Nothing but the blood of